The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Well, we started this series several weeks ago about generations. The need is great. The time is now. If you're our guest today, it's focused upon a new student and children's building that we're building back on the south end of the property. That's why the parking is chaotic. And I want to say thank you. I know that this is a tough time. I know that it's difficult. You could do what I do. I don't leave until 1 o'clock, all right? It's much easier to get out of the parking lot then. But you come and you go, and thank you for watching the Asphalt Angels. They're doing the best they can. We were a week ahead of schedule. 4 weeks into construction, we were a week ahead of schedule. And then all of a sudden, we had a problem with a gas line, and now we've lost 3 days. We're probably going to lose all that, but it'll get there. So just thank you for your patience and for your cooperation in the parking. It won't always be this way. Somebody told me, said a friend of theirs said, well, I'm just not going to come until they get the building done. Well, that's real mature. What you're telling me is you are so immature and so impatient that you can't tolerate a little inconvenience. But oh boy, take you to a football game and you can sit in that parking lot for an hour. Okay, I didn't mean to get hateful and mean, but you understand. So my nerves are a little bit tight on these things. So today, we talk about the introduction of the Capital Funds Program. And I need to just chat with you for a moment. Relax. I'm not going to try to get into your wallet, that thing. I just want to chat with you about what we're doing and why we're doing it this way. Because somebody said, why didn't we hire an outside consultant to do fundraising? Well, we did that one time. This is the third time we've raised money to build buildings. And the first time we did that, and it was not a very comfortable experience for me, because I felt like the company that came in put a lot of pressure on our people. I felt like they operated some out of guilt. We were trying to raise something like $1.2 million, and they charged us about $180,000 to pull it off, and they weren't that much smarter than me. And so it just really made me uncomfortable that I would invite somebody that doesn't know you, doesn't know our church, and they want to look at how much you give, and they want to do this, want to do that, and we just said, no, we're not going to do that. I believe in Shadow Hills. I believe in the generosity of the people of this church, and I believe when we present the need that God's going to provide the need. By the way, we've figured it out. If everybody who gives regularly gave $20 a week more, we'd pay for the building. It's not like it's enormous for us. Our annual church budget's over $5 million. And that building is $5 million. So our goal is to raise $3 million. How do we do that? Well, there's in your worship program, there's an envelope, and that envelope is for a one-time offering. We've already had some people do this. They've already given. We've had some people already sign up, and they've been giving already. Online, you can give online. You can give on your phone. You can give on your computer. You can give in the envelopes. But it's a one-time offering on commitment day that we're looking for. You can bring that. And then the second, there's a card in there. And the card is, what can you do consistently over a two-year period? Now, the key to the card is equal sacrifice, not equal giving. We can't all give the same amount. You know, in the scripture, when Jesus saw the widow give her penny, basically she gave a penny at church, he said she's given more than anybody else. Why? Because of the sacrifice. You know, somebody could have given $1 million that day, and Jesus said, this is the woman who gave the most because she gave a sacrifice. If we sacrifice equally, we'll see this done. You know, for somebody that makes $10,000 a year, for them to give $100 to this program is a sacrifice. For somebody that makes $100,000 a year to give $10,000 to this program, be the same sacrifice. And so God doesn't work on equal giving. It's not a matter of giving. It's a matter of, am I sacrificing what God has called me to give? And then you have to decide how, and that's why the commitment card is there. You need to pray about it with your family. There's an instruction booklet on how to have family meetings and talk about this. There's your children in Bible study today. If they don't go to Bible study, they can get one in the lobby. but we have these for the children because we want everybody to be a part. It's just a little bank where the children can have the lemonade stand or whatever they want to do to help build the building. We need to teach our children generosity. And so these little banks, when we have Commitment Sunday, their kids will come down, they'll put them all in here, and it'll be a fun thing. Besides, there's a lot of change out there that will help build the building. So you make that commitment. You can give on what you can reasonably give, or you can give by revelation, which is when you ask God, what do you want me to do? My wife and I tithe. 10% of our income comes right back here to Shadow Hills. Now, we had to lower that a little bit because she went and retired on me, and so now it's not just affecting me, it's affecting you. Now she's not giving as much of the church either. I don't understand that. And I forgot this is the one being televised, and she's in Portland today. She's been running all over the country since she got retired. And she's probably watching me right now. My phone's ringing. Anyway, hi, hon, I love you, and I'll talk to you after a little while. See when you get home. But we give 10% of our income to the church, and then we decided, okay, what can we give above that? Because, you know, we have to give that because we got to pay the light bills, but we want to give to the building too. And so in a 2-year period, we decided what we're going to do, and it's going to be a stretch for us because she retired. If she was working, it wouldn't be quite a stretch. But, I'm not bitter about that or anything. But we've decided. We filled out our whole staff has filled out our commitment cards. The people that work here, we ask everybody. Everybody has participated, 100% participation by the people who work here at Shadow Hills. And right now, I think, I don't know the total, but those people that work here have committed over $200,000 to the building program. So we're sacrificing. We're asking you to sacrifice. Fill out that card. And then there's tons of ways. Everybody can do something. We can all do something. I was talking to the senior adults, and I said, you know, ladies, there's enough jewelry in the jewelry boxes represented in this room. It wasn't that funny to them. But think about all that's there, and we're holding on to it. Well, let me tell you something. Jewelry goes out of style. You don't need it anymore. Put it back into circulation, you know. The last time we did this, people gave cars. I had a guy give me an envelope, and I said, what's this? And he says, it's the title to a condominium that we own, and I'm tired of taking care of it, and it's not making me much money anyway. So here, give it to the church. The church sold it, put that money. That's why you get to sit in here today, because somebody did that. And many of you, you paid the price for the facilities. When you drive onto this campus, it's nice, and people paid for that. And now it's our turn to step up and do even more. I believe the generation to come, our next generations, are going to have more challenge in the things of faith than we could imagine. You know, when I grew up in the 60s, you know, our parents said, these kids, they're wild. And then we had the hippies, and we had the flower children, and everybody, we had the sexual revolution. Everybody thought the world is going to Hades in a handbasket, you know, and we thought it was bad. Then it's going to get worse. It's not slowing down, folks. The devil is not going to stop trying to lead people away from God, and so we need to prepare our children for that. And so based upon that, in a couple of weeks, pray about your commitment. We're going to turn in our commitment cards, and then the following week we'll celebrate. But again, I couldn't see asking the company in and giving them access to our giving records so they could see, you know, who could do what and then come and put you on the spot. We're just not going to do that. We're going to depend upon God speaking to your heart and making it happen. And the staff is going to lead the way, and I'm going to lead the staff. And so we're just going to pray about it and see what God does. Now, the question is, why are we doing that? You know, why are we investing in this? It's not because I thought it was a good idea, because I didn't think it was a good idea to build another building. I thought it was a better idea for me to retire. But when God wants to do something in the life of a person or in the life of the church, he gives them a dream. You can see it again and again in Scripture. Go to Abraham. What did God do? He gave him a dream. He said, Abraham, I want to make you the father of a great nation. Well, that's a pretty massive dream. I believe that for all of us, individually as Christians, for me, for you, God gives us a dream to keep our faith growing. And I think God gives a church a dream to keep the faith growing. I've seen too many churches that become irrelevant because they lose their dream. They lose the sharpness. It's us four, no more, shut the door. We've never done it that way before. You know, and all of this stuff. You've got to stay relevant to reach the next generation. So God's given Shadow Hills a dream, and that is this high-tech, wonderful student center out there that will allow elementary school and junior high and high school students to know who the Lord is. I hope that you in your personal life have a dream. You know, I'm not done dreaming yet. I had breakfast with a friend, and we're about the same age, and he told me, he said, I'm just kind of getting tired, and I'm thinking of retiring. He said, what about you? I said, well, somewhere out there I'm going to. And he said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I have a dream. He said, well, what's your dream? Tell me about it. And now, I don't know if this will ever happen, so don't hold me to it, but this is the, frankly, you ought not give your dream too soon. Joseph did this. We're going to talk about Joseph. He gave his dream too soon. It got him in trouble. So I'll just give you a little bit of the dream. He said, well, what do you want to do? I said, I'm going to start a church. And he looked at me and he said, where? I said, Las Vegas. He said, you're going to leave Shadow Hills and start a church? I said, no, I ain't leaving Shadow Hills. I want Shadow Hills to start another church, and I want to be the pastor. He said, who? I said, saints over 60. And he just looked at me. He said, you really want to start a church for old people? I said, absolutely. I said, this is a dream in my heart. God's just kind of turning this dream around in my heart. And he said, well, why do you want to do that? I said, because, you know, the people over 60 years old, they're closer to eternity than anybody else. And if they don't know Jesus, they got to get on the stick. You get my age, I'm 65 years old. I might have 15 or 20 more years, but that ain't nothing to the 65 I've lived. And if you don't know Jesus, you're closer to hell than you think you are. And he just looked at me and he said, well, yeah. He said, that's true. I said, well, that ain't all. He said, what? I said, well, they have more time than anybody else. I'm learning that because my wife's retired. And he said, well, that's true. He said, so what? I said, but they have more experience and knowledge than anybody else, too. My wife taught school for 30 years. I think about all of you who are retired in here and all of the areas that you're retired. And I think about a church of people over 60 years of age. We're relevant. We can do some things like, what if there was a task force to help senior adults know how to put their folks and their families that get Alzheimer's and stuff into a care facility? Because I'll tell you what, nobody knows how to do that, it seems. Or navigate Medicare and Medicaid, or help Social Security and do all of these things. You know, I got enough bankers that could tell you whether a reverse mortgage is for you or not. They're right here in this church. Mobilize these people from ministry. Go down here to the elementary school and say, hey, listen, we got 25 school teachers that have retired, but they're pretty sharp folks. They'll come in and tutor your children for free. And we really don't want anything back. That, you know, and he said, man, that's great. I said, that ain't all. He said, okay, they're closer to hell than anybody else. They got more time than anybody else. They've got more experience than anybody else to help everybody else. He said, what else is there? I said, they got more money than everybody else. I admire these guys that want to go out and start a church for the 20-somethings. You 20-somethings don't have much money. My wife is retired. I need somebody to help support me in a manner to which I'm accustomed. And you 20-year-olds are not going to do it, all right? So that's my dream, though. I'm not done, folks. I see a need for change at Shadow Hills. But I also see that student building out there and think if we got bigger than the student ministry, we'd just take that building away from them. It's going to have an auditorium. We're going to have two auditoriums. The dream... Because if you don't dream, you just become selfish and self-serving. Look at this Bible verse. Now glory be to God, who by His mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare or ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Almighty God can do, wants to do, will do, if you walk with Him, greater than your biggest prayer, greater than your greatest desire, bigger than your biggest thoughts, higher than your highest hopes? See, I read that in my head. I know it's true. But in my heart, I'm thinking, really? Really? Because see, I have this dream of this church, and it ain't going to be a little church. Sun City is right up here. And what would happen if I go walking, knocking on those doors and say, have you thought about Jesus? And those people look at me like, well, what are you talking about? Why would I think about Jesus? Because you're closer to hell than everybody else. I think I could scare 3,000 or 4,000 of them right into church. I can think of a big dream, and it says God can think of so much more. I can think of that student ministry used 4 or 5 times on the weekend, but God thinks of so much more. And God doesn't promise to fulfill my dream. He promises to fulfill his dream. It's God's dream, because he knows what's best for every one of us. And he gives us a dream to do what? To build and deepen and strengthen our relationship. So I want us to do something very quickly this morning. I want to look at Joseph, because you know that Joseph was given a dream. The Bible says that God gave Joseph a dream that he would be the leader of nations. And then he got the dream a second time that he would not only be a leader of nations, his own people and his own family would bow down to his leadership. Now, God gave Joseph that dream. And from there, God took Joseph through the formation of the realization of that dream. Why did God give Joseph the dream? Because Joseph had not a faith of his own yet. He had the faith of his father. His father was Jacob. Jacob had wrestled with God, held on to God. And God did a work in Jacob's life. Jacob had a deep walk with God. But Joseph, all Joseph had was a coat of many colors. And he pranced around in that coat of many colors, and God gave him a dream. And when God gave him that dream to be the leader of not just his nation, Joseph was 17 years old. It says Joseph, a young man of 17, had a dream. 17-year-olds are not the most mature people. They know more than most others, and they can be selfish. I think that Joseph was spoiled because his daddy loved him more than his brothers, made him that coat, didn't give anybody else a coat, and then God gave him a dream. But the dream changed his character. The dream changed his future, because that's what dreams do. The dream of that building will change the destiny of Shadow Hills. The dream that God's given you in your heart, the dream God gives me in my heart, he brings that to us. Now, the Bible says Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they hated him all the more. Well, that's because Joseph went to his brothers and said, hey, guys, I had that dream again. You know, the one where everybody bowed down to me, but not everybody just bowed down to me. You guys bowed down to me. Isn't that just awesome? Well, his brothers didn't think it was awesome. And the Bible says they went and put him in a pit, and then they sold him to slaves. They took his fancy coat and smeared blood all over it, took it to his daddy and said a wild animal tore him to pieces. And daddy spent the next years wondering what happened. His son was dead. But God had given him a dream. That is the formation. You have to have the dream. And you're going to go through that with the commitment card. You're going to have some faith. A dream means you have some faith. A dream means you believe that God can direct you. A dream means you believe that God can fulfill the promise. That's why I drive around this campus all the time. Because this is the fulfillment of a dream, and it reminds me that God is not finished yet. So the formation. And then the second, you have the faith-building phase. Faith-building, that sounds real spiritual. Really, it ought to be the problem and mess phase. Because what God wants to do, once he gives you a dream, he wants you to understand you need to depend upon him. You need to walk with him. See, Joseph, when he told his dream, it was because he thought God wanted to make him a great leader. And he was so excited and enamored with the thought of being a leader that everybody's going to bow down to him. You know, it was pretty selfish. It was not a dream from God in that fashion. Now, God gave him the dream, but Joseph misinterpreted the dream. And so God takes Joseph through some problems, because when you go through problems, you have to wait and you get the difficulties and the disappointments. This is where God was building Joseph a faith of his own. He didn't need the faith of Jacob. He needed the faith of his own. And so God does that. In Psalm, the Bible says, until the time to fulfill his dream, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Well, why did he do that? He did it, first of all, to take the pride out of him. You see this 17-year-old kid prancing around in his fancy colored coat saying, "You're going to bow down to me, you're going to bow down to me." God took his pride. I think him missing the coat was God saying, "Joseph, this isn't about you. This is about the dream that I've given you." He was his daddy's favorite. Daddy hadn't given anybody else a coat. He wore that coat proudly. And God stripped him of that coat. In fact, God didn't just strip him of the coat. He took his family. He took his security. He took his country. He took communication because Joseph didn't speak Egyptian at that point. He took everything he could count on to where the only thing he could count on was God. That's what God does in a dream. The second thing he does is God lets temptation strip away everything but our integrity. All right? God allowed Joseph to lose his coat to show him that he needed to depend upon him alone. But then all of a sudden, he's working for Potiphar. And she sees how good looking Joseph is, and she tries to seduce him, not one time, two times, but a bunch of times. It would have been easy for Joseph to say, "I'm in another country, nobody will know. Besides, God's not taking very good care of me anyway. Here I am sold into slavery, lost my coat." And he could have just given in to it. Genesis 39, it says, one day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She, Potiphar's wife, caught him by the coat and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his coat in her hand and ran out of the house. He lost another coat. You ever have your kids do that? "Where's your coat?" "I left it at school." "You better bring that coat home." He lost his second coat. What does that mean? Well, now Joseph has a choice. He could fit into the culture and give up the dream, or he could surrender everything that he is to God. Joseph was humble enough to go to God because he knew his capability of failure. He knew if he didn't run from that woman, he would eventually give in. So God, in this phase, faith building, takes his pride where Joseph can't depend upon anyone but God, and then he leads him to draw closer, closer to him than any other. It's total surrender. It's what you sang a while ago. You sang that song. God can do a miracle here because why? Because we've surrendered to him. Joseph does everything right. You would think that God would say, "Okay, here's the dream." No, he doesn't, because he goes through the forgotten phase. That's the third one. In the forgotten phase, you know the story. In prison, Joseph makes a friend. He's the cupbearer to the king. Cupbearer to the king just means that he tasted everything the king ate. So a glass of wine or ribeye, he had to take a bite of it in case somebody had poisoned it. For some reason, the cupbearer made Pharaoh mad, and he put him in prison. And he and Joseph become buddies. And then the cupbearer has a dream. Joseph says, "I can interpret that dream for you." And the cupbearer says, "What is it?" He said, "It means you're going to go back and you're going to be in the house of Pharaoh." Well, he can't believe that. And Joseph says, "But don't forget me when you do." "Oh, Joe, man, I got your back. Listen, when I get out of here, you're the man. I'm going to get you out of prison." But he doesn't. He forgets him. Forgets him. Have you ever felt forgotten? Because let me tell you, I've lived through enough dreams that I know what it is to feel like you're getting in the middle of this dream and now how in the world is this going to work? I think he felt forgotten by God. He felt desperate. But this is where you're positioned for the miracle, because now you are close to God in total surrender. I think Joseph was saying, "God, you gave me a dream. I still believe that you're going to come through with the dream, but I don't see how it's going to happen. Here I am in prison. I feel forgotten, but I'm just going to give myself to you. I need you this minute. I surrender to you. I'm totally in your hands." And I think that's when God gave Joseph that peace that passes understanding and said, "I've got it covered." This goes to the fourth one, the fulfillment phase. The dream came true. Joseph became number two in command because Pharaoh had a dream, and the cupbearer thought, "You know, I know a guy who could take care of that for you." And he recommended Joseph, and Joseph interpreted the dream, and Pharaoh made him number two in Egypt. And he not only saved Egypt, he saved the surrounding nations, and then he saved the people of Israel as well. It was of God. How do we know it was of God? Two things. Because a dream from God serves others. A dream from God serves others. One of the most exciting things to me about building that building out there is getting to use that building up there. That building's a recreation center. It's a gymnasium. It's never meant to be a student center. So they have Sunday school on that hardwood basketball court that any high school in town would love to have because it's first class. We can use that building now to do what? Serve others instead of serving ourselves on Sunday morning. We can't hardly use it because we've filled it up with ourselves. Now we can. The great thing about using that building out there is because we have new places for service. A dream from God serves others. This is where Joseph misinterpreted the dream. He thought the dream from God was for him to be a great leader. It wasn't. It was for him to be a great servant, to serve God. And then a dream from God builds up the church. It builds up the church. You see, God has a dream, and his dream is to build a forever family. God wants every person that he's ever created to be in his family in heaven. And he's given the assignment to bring people into the family to the church. The church is the hope of the world. The church is God's only plan to change the world. History is his story. And he is building a forever family. And he wants to help the forgotten, like Joseph and the hurting, like the cupbearer. He wants to help them into the family. And so now God's going to use our resources and our talents and our gifts to reach others. The Bible says the world is not primary and the church secondary. The Bible says the church is primary and the world is secondary. In other words, the world may not need, or the church may not need the world. I could go to heaven and be happy. But the world desperately needs the church because we are the change agent for whatever God wants to do. What's your dream? Where's God going to take you from here? Because I guarantee you, if you don't have a dream, and if worse, if you're a dream killer, Joseph's brothers were dream killers. There's always somebody negative willing to speak against your dream. I'm not going to hang out with dream killers. I want to hang out with people that have a dream because they have a vibrant, living faith. And people who don't become selfish and self-serving. Having a dream, it's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have brought us to this place that we could all have a dream. A dream in our hearts personally, a dream in our lives together as a church. And I pray in these moments today that we would come to you and invite you to speak to our hearts the dream. And we ask it in Jesus' name.